Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
For those of you who are relatively new on the scene here in the National Ministry, a little over 5 years ago, we gathered as senior staff at the barn at Bulladeen and had a great time. In fact, even Bert was there as our special speaker and facilitator to walk us through. And during those two or three days where there was more protein on the table than I've ever seen in my life that we were fed, it was a memorable experience. As senior staff, we talked through what do we want our internal organizational aspirational values to be. And we came up with these five aspirational values that Mandy helped design with these Olympic rings, that we could put five words into these. Courage, diversity, humility, integrity, and joy. And this year in chapel, I have tried to take us through one by one each of these aspirational values. The last time, I sort of was an opportunist and invited Dr. Francis Nuthalapati on the stage to have a cameo of courage that became a podcast talking about his walk of courage in some academic settings and some life settings in which he's been faithful to his Lord Jesus through trials and tribulations in academic medicine. But I want to finish up, and I intentionally saved joy for this time of the year. I want to thank, last week, Gene Rudd gave us a formal Thanksgiving chapel so that I could be a little avant-garde, if you will, in what I share today. So these are values that with God's help, we will demonstrate courage. We will embrace, or I've heard Bill Reichert say, catalyze diversity when he shared in chapel. We had five chapels the first year after we chose these, and Bill got to talk about diversity. We desire humility, Christ, to follow Christ's example. We protect our integrity. And finally, we express joy. And that Psalm 20, verse 5, is at the end of a benediction that I've given many times at the National Convention. Just a blessing and a prayer. And the final verse of that is, may we shout for joy from CMDA National Ministry when we hear of your victory and raise a victory banner in the name of our God. May the Lord answer all your prayers. And then send everybody away from the National Convention. So about these values, they've been our focus, as I mentioned, since the fall of 2019. So we have actually celebrated 5 years of an anniversary of clinging to an identity and putting this forward as cultural top priorities at CMDA. Now, here's a change. I've always said these were inward-facing, not outward-facing, but the reality is I think that's impossible. I think it's impossible for us only to express and demonstrate these values internally. In fact, why would we want to keep these values to ourselves? We want to be infectious. And so for the first time, I'm saying these are both inward-facing and outward-facing values. They're global because there's not a single ministry, there's not a single department. Accounting can't escape, IT can't escape. No ministry here can escape from these values. They apply globally. And they require intentional action for demonstration and for promotion. I love this picture. This was produced by our beloved CEO Emeritus Sun, who's an extremely creative guy, Jason Stevens, who does a lot of graphics and photography. And you can see there the building, our headquarters building there, kind of in the dark in the evening. He did this around July 4th and timed it so that he could get these fireworks exploding. And this is the one I chose. I've got each one of these values put to a different explosion that Jason did with his dad's permission, so they didn't start a fire. But joy. So I've been thinking a lot lately about joy. And it's not, we've faced some things this year that have really would threaten to rob our joy from us. And so please, if I get to the end of this and you've heard me say that, shame on you if you're not always happy and always have a smile, because frankly, we've had some setbacks this year. My father passed away in March. That was not necessarily a happy time for me. Scott said goodbye to his parents, and so many of, there's been just some awful things, even recently, that have happened among us that would threaten to steal our joy. But I do want to ask you this question and ask myself in the mirror, do I trust God, really trust God? And why do I ask that question? Because in the Old and New Testament, there is a basic if-then. A basic if-then. Romans 15, 13, Dave Stevens shared this verse from us from Romans at his chapel last week. I pray, Paul said, that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Solomon said in Proverbs 16, 20, two if-thens. Those who listen to instruction will prosper. So if you listen to instruction, you will prosper. Part two, those who trust the Lord will be joyful. Not might be or occasionally or will find joy, but those who trust the Lord will be joyful. So if we don't have joy, then I think it begs the question, do we really trust God? Well, John Piper, probably his most famous book that he has written, a pastor from Bethlehem Baptist, is entitled Let the Nations Be Glad. A great book that certainly every missionary should read. But I added here, Let the ICMDA nations, all 107 of them, be glad. And I've asked Peyton if she would read for us. Hopefully you got you got a microphone there, Peyton. If you would read, it's not a long psalm, but read for us Psalm 67.
May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. That your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase, God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
Yeah. Can you read one more time? Read the verse from which the nations be glad, right in the middle of the psalm.
Verse 4, let the nations be glad. Mm-hmm. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth.
So I guess in this day and age, in our culture, I've been trained by Al Mohler maybe and others to think whenever I hear the word equity to cringe. But it's not really a cringe-worthy word. It's right there in Psalm 67 that God judges the nations with equity. And certainly any word, including the word love, can be distorted by our enemy in our culture. But God judges the nations with equity. And so I was in Oceania, and surprisingly enough, this cover from John Piper's book for whatever reason, focuses on Oceania, this globe. You can maybe pick out Australia there at the bottom of the globe, but Indonesia just north of that. So it's a part of the globe, frankly, that I've not been all that familiar with, Indonesia. Some pretty incredible things about Indonesia. It is the most populated Muslim nation on the planet. Over 277 million people, and in the U.S. we have about 350 million. So it's a little bit less populated, but not much. There's one official language, Indonesian, but there are 700 other languages spoken in this country. It is the world's largest, and I hope I don't butcher this word, archipelago, with 17,508 islands. 17,508 islands, and it was ruled by a European nation. Anybody want to guess what nation that was, that it was ruled up until the 1940s? Yeah, very good, Pam. Dutch. It used to be called the Dutch East Indies. The Dutch East Indies, up until 1945. And so this is where we held our meeting. It was my second time to Indonesia because we had a board meeting in Bali, which is sort of the tourist, one of the surfing capitals of the world. And this is our ICMDA board. And I'm not sure if there might exist on the planet a more diverse board, but I'd like to see the picture. This is 17 members from 17 nations. The only duplication is between the CEO, Dr. Peter Saunders, and his executive assistants, who are both Kiwis from New Zealand. But otherwise, and Josh isn't pictured here, so 17 of us from 17 nations. And this was a field staff summit that followed a two-day board meeting with 80 representatives. And those 80 representatives were from every continent on the planet except one. Take a guess about which continent that might be. Yeah, we didn't have any reps from Antarctica. I don't think there are any CMDA groups in Antarctica. But there certainly are groups from every other continent on the planet. And I tell you, if you want to, you think that it's hard to take pictures of various groups. This was the hardest group to get together to take a picture of. It was worse than herding cats. One, I just want to focus on one national movement, one that I have come to really, really adore and respect and pray for. And that's a group in Nigeria. Maybe one of the most on fire ICMDA nations on the planet. And I'm a little bit biased. There in the middle is someone who has spoken in our chapel a couple of years ago, Dr. Chima Onoka. And you remember? I think I remember Scott Ledford or Paul Montgomery, somebody commenting about his president, who was the month before, Dr. Coyote. A really cool, or Mick, it was probably Mick Williams, saying, I wish I had a name like Coyote. But Chima is the CEO of ICMDA Nigeria, and four of us, Canada, UK, Nigeria, and myself, meet the second Tuesday of every month, and we pray together for a half an hour. On the far left, Dr. Courage, another great name, a Nigerian rheumatologist named Dr. Courage, who listens faithfully to CMDA Matters every single week. So obviously my favorite Nigerian. And on the far right is Dr. Alex. And just a brief story about Dr. Alex. He's a cardiologist, a young cardiologist. I think he finished his six-year training just a couple of years ago, practicing in Nigeria. And he came to me during one of the breaks, and he said, Dr. Chup, could I sometime this week have a little one-on-one time with you? I just want to ask you a couple of questions. Now, I will tell you, I've been conditioned since 1996 when a Kenyan or an African comes to me and says, could I have some time with you? Because about 95 out of 100 times, it's going to be a request for help, resources, something that's going to cost me something. And so I thought, sure, I'd be happy to meet with you, but I wonder what this is going to be about. When he told me what he wanted, when he wanted to share with me, I had to fight back the tears. Because his question was this, Dr. Chup, you told us all that you're in your 60s, early 60s, and I have followed your life, I listened to your podcast, and I know what God has been doing in your life. Could you please tell me what is the secret to living for God into your 60s? I'm only 36 or 37 years old, and I want to know, how can I be faithful to live for God until I'm in my 60s? Woo-hoo! He's not asking for money, he's asking for something far more significant than for me to find a scholarship for him to get more training in the United States. And so I just, someone like that, I want to invest prayer time. And so we had a great, wonderful chat. But Dr. Courage on the left said something. I took a picture of him sharing devotions one morning. And he said something that I've thought about, but I've never said. And it's interesting hearing from the mouth of a sub-Saharan African. He said, and there were more Africans, by the way, at this meeting than any other continent by far. In fact, I forgot to mention, of our 17 board members, 6 board members are from the continent of Africa. So the largest representation. But Courage said this, the days of the dark continent, praise God, are in the past. Africa is no longer the dark continent. But friends, this is the era of a new dark continent. And it's North America. So he's talking about our home, that we are the dark continent. So amazing, I came back, I was just there, I heard him say this 11 days ago. So I go to church this Sunday, I go to Discovery Christian Church, and there's a guest speaker. It is a Nigerian evangelist whose church sent him as a missionary to Atlanta, Georgia. He has been sent as a cross-cultural missionary, just like the Apostle Paul, to a suburb of Atlanta, because Nigerians, when they look at us and they see what's coming, they see a nation that is a bad influence on the rest of the world. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't appreciate us. I mean, they really appreciate us. And over again throughout the week, I had so many expressions of gratitude and appreciation for the generosity of CMDA US. The data is that 55% of the budget of ICMDA, it's a smaller budget than us. They have a smaller paid staff. In fact, it's quite small. But they have a massive, massive volunteer staff around the globe. So I'm going to share just a few seconds of this, but this was a glorious moment. Unfortunately, others figured it out before I did, but they sang a worship song one morning that you're all going to you're going to recognize the tune very quickly. Unfortunately, I missed the first three languages that they were singing it in. I only caught half of one language and then three others. So just listen to this for a few seconds. They're going to transition into Russian. Go ahead, Rusty. It's not, the sound isn't coming through. Russian. You can sing along with it if you want to. You don't know Russian, but you can know the song. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Now in Romanian. I'm gonna move on. They finished in Kirundi from Rwanda and Burundi, singing that song. So it was a pretty great Revelation 7:9 moment, singing praise in multiple languages. So for the first time in many years, we actually have now a regional secretary for North America in ICMDA, and that is none other than our very own Dr. Sherry Falkenheimer. Who's taken that post and will be full-time transitioning to this responsibility as of next month as she hands over the reins at the MEI gathering in a couple of weeks. Behind her is a very special couple from Hawaii. Dr. Andrew Oishi, who's a general surgeon, and Dr. Lori Tam, who's a primary care physician, I believe. And the two of them have been living and doing ministry within CMDA and practice in Honolulu for 25 years. He's a graduate from the University of Hawaii. And on the right there, you see Sherry and I, together with the past chairman of the ICMDA board, a dentist from Canada, Dr. Elmer Thiessen, and his wife, Shirley. So at this gathering, I've been on the board now for 6 years of ICMDA. All the gatherings for ICMDA, the smallest represented group on the planet is always North America. We're always very small in number. We give big time, but we don't necessarily show up at meetings. And so one of the things that Sherry has as her charge is to bring about more awareness with my help and others' help. And the reason Andrew and Lori are there is because they have agreed to help with leadership of ICMDA for all of Oceania. And there's a Canadian who's a missionary in Papua New Guinea who is really kind of the regional secretary for Oceania, that area that I showed you just a few minutes ago. But Andrew and Lori have a very powerful and joyful testimony. I'm going to work on getting them as a cameo of courage on CMDA Matters. Here's a picture that Bill Reichert and Wes sent me for a report, I think from October, is a gathering in Honolulu of the CMDA group at the University of Hawaii. And right kind of in the center is Wes, and just to his right are Andrew and Lori and the group of students there. But Andrew stuck his neck out last year. because the University of Hawaii published a big paper, an editorial, and the University of Hawaii said Dobbs was like the worst thing to ever happen. To take away a woman's right to choose was terrible, and the University of Hawaii solidly stands against this decision and supports a woman's right to choose, i.e. choose abortion. And Andrew said, I'm fed up with this, and he wrote an editorial, which ended up probably costing him his job last year. Andrew wrote this editorial. I mean, I would have been proud to write on abortion. UH's School of Medicine doesn't speak for me. His lease and his contract with the University of Hawaii within a space of 6 or 9 months was not renewed. But his testimony is one of incredible joy because he said, God was preparing me for something so much better, including my ministry with CMDA and also ICMDA. So I've shared with Mandy, I want to get him on the podcast one of these days. Dr. Peter Saunders on the far left there in this picture has been the CEO of ICMDA, and he told us as board members, and we are approving that he's going to stay an extra 4-year term. So he's going to be at the helm of ICMDA as a fellow general surgeon and Kiwi who lives in the UK at least through 1931, 1920. Time machine, 20 through 2031. And in the center is a young man who is an incredible gift from God to ICMDA. He is an Indonesian dentist who plays the keyboard, the guitar, has thought about becoming an Indonesian politician, but I told him, don't you dare go into politics. But is an incredible, he's very similar to our own Bill Griffin, has a real heart for evangelism, heart for sharing his faith, does the saline solution, saline process training, and has raised up a very active, energetic, and exploding in growth CMDA movement in all of Indonesia and Oceania. And Hedwin was our host the last 10 days or so. And I've invited him to come and share at the National Convention in St. Charles. So he will be our special guest early May. I want to express joy that God gave me some special roommates during that week. And the picture of the two, these two are not married to one another, but they're both physicians in Nepal. The one on the left is Dr. Tool Pan, who is a young orthopedic surgeon that is at a very famous hospital, a little bit like Tenwick is in Kenya, is Tansen Mission Hospital in the country of Nepal. I've been hearing about it for decades, and maybe some of you have as well. But he is an orthopedic surgeon, actively practicing orthopedics, and is being slowly pulled and sucked into administration work. He told me a story as we were riding from the airport, and I was like, you're just 25 years behind me, Tool. That's exactly what happened on my journey. And next to him is Dr. Sumandra Rana, who is the national director of CMDA Nepal. And like the lights on this Christmas tree, Sumandra lit up when I said, have you ever met Dr. Doug Lindbergh? And she had the biggest smile. Tool was standing beside her. He's the biggest smile. Do you know Dr. Lindbergh? He is our hero. He is our hero. What a wonderful, godly man. We miss him so much in Nepal. So that was a really great moment for me because I was able to explain to them what Doug does. And of course, the Nepalis are all praying for Doug and Ruth at this time. Next, on the other picture on the right, is Dr. Daniel Ojuka. Daniel was a medical student who came and worked with me at Temuco Hospital in 1999. Had a little bit of interest in surgery, which got a big interest in surgery after finishing 2 months at Temuco Hospital. He went on to train in surgery and is now the chairman of surgery of Kenyatta National Hospital, so the largest, most prominent hospital in all of the country of Kenya is Daniel Ojuka, a very godly man. And he was my roommate for most of the time, and I told him he can always be my roommate at any meeting because I'm always been plagued with people who snore at these meetings, and Daniel is a silent sleeper, which was just such a gift from God. That's his wife, Lydia, who's also a physician and runs quality assurance programs at Kenyatta National Hospital. Daniel is a very prominent leader within ICMDA East Africa and a board member with me on the board. And Daniel and I had lots of different chats, but one conversation in particular, I know in heaven that we're going to have an opportunity to sort of hear what's the rest of the story or what's behind the scenes. And I just said, I one time said to him, boy, Daniel, it would have been so cool if you had come and we could have gone through training together, your surgical training at Temuc Hospital together. And he looked at me with this strange look and he said, you didn't want me at Temuc Hospital. And I went, what do you mean? He said, well, I interviewed along with other students to become an intern at Temuc Hospital and I wasn't accepted. In fact, Dr. Bakusi, who we both know, who was on that interviewing panel, came back to me and said, Temuc doesn't want you. And boy, it was just sucked the wind out of me. And I just said, boy, Daniel, I am so sorry. I don't remember anything about that. I was part of those interviews. I don't remember any sort of negative feedback or anything like that. And he said, just hold it right there, Mike. God, whether or not it was intended for bad or it was a bad call or it was unfair, God used it in a mighty way in my life. Because I didn't make it to Temuc, I went another path, and I ended up at Garissa District Hospital, which is in the middle of northeast Kenya, in the most difficult, terrorist-laden, Muslim sort of stronghold in all of the country. A Christian nation, but the northeast corner and the coast are very strongly Muslim. And he said, God used those years in my life to prepare me to serve and to have credibility later to become the head of surgery at Kenyatta National Hospital. And I have developed a love for Muslim Kenyans, and that would not have happened had I gone the path that many of my classmates who went to Temuc and did all their training and had that exposure at a mission hospital had. So don't you dare, don't feel badly that I didn't go to Temuc Hospital because God had other plans for me. So that was a real highlight for me, and I just thank God that he has designs and purposes for each one of us. And even if we think we blow it, God doesn't ever blow it with those that come into our lives that we have influence over. And then an experience. This is an opportunity. It's a great big doors of opportunity open on small hinges. That's a quote from Luis Palau. Great big doors God opens, small hinges. And the small hinge for this picture had to do with Misty Carter at the WPDC meeting in Branson, Missouri. Because a man and a woman walked up to Misty and began to talk about their lives in Indonesia, in Jakarta. And Misty was very astute and wise and quickly ran and got Julie Rose and they had a conversation. It turns out that this man has a daughter, this man, one of the wealthiest 10 men in all of Indonesia, whose grandfather is 96 and just started his sixth bank in Indonesia. So let's just say a very wealthy family. And this 96-year-old's granddaughter, a Wheaton College graduate in elementary education, not healthcare, and at age 27 was complaining to her father, I think his name's James, wasn't it? James, complained to her father James that the hospitals just, it didn't seem like they cared about patients and so forth. Her father, with a great deal of influence, again, one of the wealthiest men of all Indonesia, said, you want to do something about it? He's like, well, yeah, but what am I going to do? I'll make sure that we get you a position of leadership. So at age 27, she became CEO of an Indonesian hospital with an elementary education degree from Wheaton College. English is perfect, pristine. Very bright, astute woman, asked me lots of hard questions. And by age 40, she's now 40, is the CEO of the largest Christian hospital system in all of Indonesia. 40 hospitals. Still to this day, she's had no formal hospital administrative management training. but she has had some doctors who've felt pity for her, she says, and have taken her under her wing and helped train her. They have a nursing school that puts out 500 Christian nurses who sign a statement of faith every year, 70,000 employees in the system. And her first question to me when we sat down together is, Dr. Chup, what does a genuine Christian doctor look like in the hospital? Oh, man. Again, just like Alex coming to me and saying, how do you do this? To have a CEO of a 40-hospital system, what does a Christian doctor look like? And she had to admit to me that, honestly, even though they have a cross in their logo, and they're a Christian hospital system, that there are places where their identity as a Christian hospital puts them at great risk. There are some of the islands in Indonesia which are staunch Muslim. And so you have to be so careful to be light and salt in those areas. But she, even in Jakarta, in the big city, the capital of Indonesia, there are great challenges in how to have a healthcare system that integrates faith. So it gave me great joy to introduce her. Caroline Riady is her name. Mrs. Caroline Riady, to introduce her to Hedwin and the possibility of a saline process witness training that Hedwin does, to put them together and also put her together with our CHEC, Christian Healthcare Executive Collaborative. And then my last slide before we close with a hymn. This is the venue for the 18th quaternary. Every 4 years, the World Congress happens from ICMB on Jeju Island, South Korea, June 30th through July 5th, 2026. And the goal that the organizing committee has given to us from North America is to have between students, residents, and grads 100 attendees from both U.S. and Canada. We had about 45 in Arusha, Tanzania, a couple of years ago. So this is a stretch goal, but I believe that we can do it. So express joy. There's a great, great, wonderful hymn that the words were written by Henry Van Dyke in 1907 and put to the tune by Beethoven. His final movement in some sympathy, not sympathy, symphony. Anybody know? Is it his ninth Ode to Joy? Was it the ninth symphony? But his Ode to Joy. So Rusty has, I'd like you to stand. And Rusty has found for us on YouTube a really nice rendition. I'd like us to close by singing, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the all thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays, stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise.
So let me repeat that last. You go ahead and have a seat. Let me repeat that last verse. May I, your chief executive officer, shout for joy when I hear of your victory and raise a victory banner in the midst of strife. And that song, that last verse stuck out to me, victors in the midst of strife. And raise a victory banner in the name of our God. May the Lord answer all of your prayers this Thanksgiving. So let's practice, express joy that comes out of a sincere trust in the Lord. And for me, every November, December, as I shared in a video that we shot yesterday for the year end, how's God going to do it this year? Our year-end giving campaign, we're shooting for $1 million. It just seems like an incredible stretch. And just got to trust that he's going to take care of our needs and be joyful along the way.